Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Tonight, we would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us here. Thank you for your support and your continued dedication to this ministry and listening and tuning in to us here each and every week. We have Pastor Steve Lee here with us, and he's going to be teaching on a bird's eye view, part two. That's right, we're going to have part two of a bird's eye view. So for those of you out there who are listening, I do want to encourage you, please grab a notebook. Grab your pen, grab your pencil, whatever you may have nearby, and get ready to jot down some notes or anything that inspires or invokes thought or change, and get ready to have dialogue at the end of the broadcast. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother Mike, for your service as unto the Lord.
and your faithfulness in that regard. Well, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and pray and just get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, we ask you to quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we awake now to righteousness and slumber no more as we sojourn in the land of promise by walking in the Spirit from glory to glory and from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We're talking about a bird's eye view. And if you would, it's the primary teaching will be coming from Matthew chapter 6 because of the things that Jesus told us to do. We have to understand that God is a faithful God, and his earnest desire is to be your all in all. I mean, that's just something that's just powerful to me, that God wants to really bless us, infuse our life with goodness, and he's not trying to be the all in all because he wants to be egotistical about it. No, see, he's wanting us and inviting us into intimacy. And if you want to be intimate, just as a reference, and it's kind of it can be offensive to some people, but please hear it out. If you are in a relationship, and it's just one of the realities that we have, if you are in a relationship, the person that you are in a relationship would like to have your exclusive attention. You can't be intimate with your wife and be talking on the phone to somebody else. That just doesn't work. The intimacy is broken. I didn't say you would not have fellowship. See, he's calling us into a deeper a place in him. God so loved the world. Got that. But he's wanting you to come in. Deep calls unto deep. See, he's not just trying to leave you on the outside. You know, one of the things that intimacy produces is it produces trust. It releases power. Okay? Because when you have trust, now you have the ability to do something. Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture, 5 and 6 says that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct our path. Intimacy produces or releases power. Okay? If I'm not going to be intimate, then I'm not going to have the power that trust develops. I'm trying to get you to see that. You know, if we're just going to continue to have just quote, close quotes, devotional time and not have any intimate time. Okay, that's just not going to garner the results that we're looking for. Again, prayer produces intimacy. You become intimate with the one you're praying to, with the one you're praying about, with the one you're praying for. Prayer produces intimacy. And God, Jesus said that the whole house shall be called a place of prayer or a place of intimacy. Do you see that? See, and sometimes we're looking at God as the genie in the bottle, you know, just the one that can get things done. Well, God is looking for us to be the ones that release trust, that find a way to sojourn in the land of promise. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. He says, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, then from that position of intimacy, of abiding, you will then be able to ask what you will, and it will be given unto you. See, when you have this intimacy that he's talking about, that he's trying to get us to have a different reference point to, we shouldn't still be going after God's hands. We should be going after the face of God. And the reason I say we should be going after the face of God, because words come out of his face. His mouth is in his face. And we're supposed to seek his face, not his hand. And unfortunately, the body of Christ has come to a place that all we want to do is to beg of God, give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And we're not understanding that if I am intimate with him, if I abide in him, then it will take us to a place where before we even ask, he knows what things we have need of, and he wants to give them to us. See, that's why he wants to be our all in all. He's not doing it because he's egotistical or fearful, thinking that if he doesn't do exactly what you want him to do, that you won't talk to him. You know, I found out that God is not mad because you didn't talk to him, because he knows that his word that has been sent will not return void. We can ignore him. I know I did. Beloved, I know I did. I was running from God as fast as I could, not knowing that I was just running in place, not going anywhere. And one of the reasons why that was so is because I had a praying grandmother. I had a praying father and a mother. I had sisters and brothers that were believing God to bring me out of darkness and allow me to come into the place where fellowship, family ties would kick in. Blessed be the ties, huh? I know anybody got some old Baptist songs right there. The ties that bind. The ties that causes me to want to abide there. See, visitations, we are way past the day of visitation. Okay? And that was a good day. But God wants to live in you. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says that, you know, I've come to understand it from this perspective, that it's not me, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer want to frustrate the grace of God. See, I'm crucified with Christ. See, I'm not just, that's good, sir. See, I'm not one that's looking unto the cross. I am a partaker of the cross. No, I don't have to die for anybody. No, I took the ability to learn of him, to learn of his, to become intimate with the fellowship of his suffering, not to be the one that suffers. Okay? I mean, I'm just trying to get us to look at it from a different point of view. See, because sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes we have given Jesus a bad rap, because we think that the whole thing is going to be a suffering, more suffering. See, and the suffering that we're supposed to partake of is not suffering because of frustration. It's more suffering in preparation. Okay, I let's try it this way. When you are exercising, all of the exercise that you execute causes suffering on your body, but it's not suffering for frustration. It's suffering in preparation. The exercise, if done accurately, will build up your body. It will build up your stamina. See? And so then you are suffering in preparation. You are suffering in anticipation and expectation. You're not suffering in frustration. And most of the times we have looked at it as if God is causing us to suffer because of frustration. And then we agree with whatever we don't like and say that this frustration is completely unnecessary. Don't you hear the scripture that says we are the ones that are supposed to bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord? Please just investigate that. He said our sacrifice should be unto praise, not unto frustration. If you're going through something and frustration is what has come and visited you and stayed with you because it's the attitude of heart, then you're not doing anything as unto the Lord. Because if you're doing it as unto the Lord, let everything that hath breath praise. See, that puts you back in the position of expectation. See, now you can be built up. See, our enduring a thing is not, again, because we have to put up with it. The point of frustration is what we look for then. No, we allow God to strengthen us. Last week I said something and it just blessed me. I quoted the scripture, and I'll do that most of the time because my wife told me I think King James, you know. That's just the way it is with me. But I said to someone, I was ministering to someone, and I asked the question, how do you see I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And as I said that, it just really blessed me and grabbed my heart, because what I should be doing is having an expectation of strength coming from the Lord. If I don't receive the strength, write this down. This is the way you should hear it. If I don't receive the strength from the Lord, I should not be doing the thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If the thing is to get done, I have to first receive the strength in order to do the thing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I love the which strengthens me, because that means it is an active process. Notice he didn't say, which strengthened me. It strengthens me. See? In other words, it's not a one-time exchange. It is going to be an ongoing thing. I say all of the time, I'm blessed and I'm working on obedience. I know I'm blessed, but in order for the flow of God, I need to continue to work on obedience, because if I am willing and obedient, I will eat a different diet. I will eat the good of the land. Okay? I'm just trying to kind of connect scriptures here so that you can see that this is an invitation to enjoy life, not to be frustrated by life. Okay? God is not egotistical when he wants to be all in all. He knows that when you are allowed to participate in what he's called you to, you will enjoy it. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that we're supposed to be the ones that partake of the fullness of his grace. Fullness. He's always wanted to cause us to be filled with him. We were made in his image, after his likeness, okay? How much room would there be for anything else if you are made in his image and after his likeness? There will not be room for anything else, would it? That will be the thing that fills all in all. And that's the way you were created. He wants you to function the same way you were created, with him filling all in all. See, because when you allow him to feel all in all, there will be no understanding of any lack in your life. That's why Jesus made the statement, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly, to the full and overflowing, nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay? That's where he wants us to live. He wants that to be our norm. Glory to God. And if we would allow that to become intimate with him that way, then we will be able to see that he's already done. These are not things he's going to do. Jesus said it is finished. And these are the attitude of heart that we should have because it's finished. He hath, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He already has done that. He's not working on that, beloved. He's already finished that. Okay? And what we need to do is to begin to process our heart's position and thought from there. But see, most of the time, we go and we are trying to get God to do something because we're looking at it from the wrong positions. That's why we need to have a different view, a bird's eye view. Okay? And so we're going to look at some things there. Because God doesn't operate in fear. He's not fearful. Okay? Because God is love. Perfect love. And perfect love does not allow fear. It casts out all fear. Okay? But because we allow things to cloud our vision and we become unfocused and we enter into worry, doubt, unbelief, and fear. See, God, when he made Adam in the garden, there was no need for nothing else. But the enemy came and told him a lie, and he believed the lie and participated in actions that were precipitated by an understanding of a lie. I don't know how many times in our life we do that. I just don't know how many times in our life we do that. See, we allow the enemy to tell us that the reason why we're going through a thing is some kind of way connected to God not loving me the way I need to be loved. Again, if you were made in his image, after his likeness, do you not think that he would know exactly what you need, when you need, the way you need it? See? I mean, that really resolves the issue in my heart. But he came to Adam and told him that if you eat of this tree, this one thing that God told you not to eat of, and the reason that he told you not to eat of was not so that you would be incomplete, but because it would cause you to be completely dead. In the day you eat of this, you will surely die. See? I mean, you got to understand, beloved, that God said that, and Adam lived almost another 900 years after he ate of the fruit that God told him not to eat of. That's how long it took for the love of God to stop effectively working in his life. I mean, just kind of picture that, will you? He said, in the day that you eat thereof. And that day, because we know the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, okay? And in that day, God still called him, allowed him, helped him, brought forth his manifestation of love for almost 1,000 years. My God. Here we are trying to get one day to get better. I mean, just kind of see law there. God's love is so grand, so immense, that it took almost 1,000 years for it to become ineffective in the manner that God wanted it to be. And death was what happened. So, beloved, let's just become intimate with him. All right? Let's look at it from his perspective. Get back to the way it was in the garden. Because in the garden, you didn't have worry, doubt, unbelief, and fear. You didn't have pressure that the enemy caused separation to happen by. Because okay, listen at the lie now. God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like him. That is a revelation of separation, isn't it? Because the devil is saying, you're not already like him. When God already knew that he made you in his, the prophecy was Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's the agreement from Jump Street. That's the prophetic word over your life. And the devil came and gave you another word, a false prophecy, and we buy into that and believe that we are not equal to God. Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be made equal with God. But with that equality, he did not have to go and make for himself a reputation. See, he didn't have to do that. Okay, we'll try it this way. When you already are a thing, you don't have to try to prove a thing, do you? Mr. Walton, Sam Walton, was a very rich man. And Sam Walton rode around in a pickup truck most of the time. Why? He wasn't trying to prove to people that he had money because they saw him drive up in the Rolls Royce. He knew he had the money. He didn't have to try to impress nobody. The money was already in the bank. Why am I trying to impress you with what I already got in the bank? See? So as a child of God, you don't have to try to go around and impress people. That's what we've gotten into. See, and we need to just get away from that. Go back to the place where you know I am sufficient in him. All of my need is met by him. I don't have to toil and sweat, worry, and lie. I don't have to pretend. Okay? So I want you to kind of, you know, this is the foundation, if you would. The pressure that the enemy used to cause separation, because nature doesn't allow a vacuum. When separation happens, frustration is going to be made evident. And then that frustration is going to make the separation even grander, isn't it? And then the separation becomes filled with the worry and filled with the fear and filled with the unbelief and filled with the doubt. And then I start living on that which was created. This is good. Come on, y'all. I start trying to live off of that which is created in a vacuum. I hope you saw that. See? God freely, come on, let's understand flow. Understand flow. God freely gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Things don't move freely in a vacuum, do they? Things in a vacuum have to move by force. Things that are in a flow move freely. That's why it says that out of your belly shall flow rivers, with an S, rivers. And the last time I checked, any place where two rivers converge, it's going to cause things to come up because there's always a churning, a place of things being brought to the surface. Why? So that they can be accessed easier. I don't have to dig for them. I don't have to dive for them. They're going to come up in just a second for me to grab. That's why he says that if you would allow the Spirit to do what God wants to do in your life, then out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. See? But we didn't understand that. We didn't have a concept of God is wanting us to enter into the place of intimacy where flow happens. You know, the life I see in the Father is the Father pours into the Son, and the Son pours into the Spirit, and the Spirit pours into the Father, and they continually live by pouring everything that they have into the other. That's why Jesus said things like, y'all see me do something, but it's not me that's doing the work. It's the Father that's in me. It's the Father that's pouring answers of wisdom, answers of revelation. He's pouring that in me even now as I need it. And because of that pouring, I have more than enough. And I'm inviting you to live that same kind of life. I've come that you might have it more abundantly to the full. Overflowing, nothing missing, nothing broken. This is what we've been invited to. We've been invited into this. This is our life. Because in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Okay? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But with him, you can now do all things. Things are impossible without him. But when you have him, all things just became possible. Why? Because he continually pours into you whatever is necessary. That's the life that we've been invited into. It's not a life of lack, beloved. It says in Psalm 84:11 that God will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, those that have a mature heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature, perfect heart towards him. Blessed be the Lord God that daily loads us down with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Come on, y'all. See, he wants to pour into you that which is necessary for your life. He's not trying to hold it back. He's never been that way. God so loved that he gave. See? He said he will freely with him. How will he not give us freely all things? He that offered up his own son. How will he not with him freely give us all things? See? He wants a flow in our life. And that flow happens because of intimacy. It's not because of deserving. Okay? And we're going to see that. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to see. It's not about deserving. It's just because he loves you. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus had just got to talking about the what your attitudes ought to be in chapter 5. This is an extension. Okay, let me try that. The Bible was not written in chapter and verse. We study it in chapter and verse, okay? Just so you can see something. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. Verse 2, and understand what it says. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, from verse 3 all the way to chapter 8, yeah, chapter 7, verse, all right, just so you can see it, please, hold your finger at chapter 2, chapter 5, and then turn over to chapter 7, verse 28. And it says at verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. What sayings? Everything from chapter 5, verse 2, till chapter 7, verse 28. This is all one dissertation. Okay? The chapter 6 words were never there. He was continuing the ministry, continuing the message, continuing the teaching. Okay? So it says in verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he kept on saying until he got to chapter 7, verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Okay? Sometimes we just need to study our Bible a little bit different. See? Not just trying to get the chapter read because that's what we said we was going to do. No, we need to hear the thought. We need to hear what God intended. Because when you hear what God intended, you can live off of what God intended. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, so if God is saying it, and here we recorded what God is saying, then we should live by what he was saying, not chapter 1, verse 2 only. See? I mean, there's enough life in the word but, if you can find out what the but is there for. Yeah, amen. Okay. We can use, it has been said that the word but in the English language has been given to us as, in the Bible, sometimes I look at the word but, and it becomes a Holy Ghost eraser. Because it is something that excludes the other things. You can have this, but not that. So sometimes when we look at the words, we throw away what he said. Okay? And we should stop doing that. We should just go ahead and say, the thought was being spoken to my heart. I can enter in at the but instead of exit at the but. Amen. But seek ye first. I can enter in right there. See? Instead of it being the end of a thing. Okay, that's just some, that's kind of free there. Okay, so for study purposes, we're going to start with chapter 6. Picking up what Jesus was already telling them. Okay, it's interesting to me as I think from here that the Beatitudes in chapter 5 basically were telling us what our attitude should be. That was our Beatitude. Okay, and a lot of us don't have that attitude manifest because we don't understand some of the things that he said in this dissertation that would help us to turn it around. Okay, so the most part, I want you to kind of overarching theme of chapter 5 through chapter 7 is going to be our attitude. Okay. He will bring up other things that can stand by themselves outside of our attitude, but primarily he was talking about our attitude. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Make sure, take heed that you don't do this, that you don't do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, because of this, when you do alms, don't get all crazy about it, sounding the trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, underline this, they have their reward. What was their reward? Being seen of men. Okay? I just might as well know that. But when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, he's talking about attitudes here. He's not talking about the gift. Okay, come on, y'all. He was talking about your attitude trying to be seen of men. And so God rewarded you according to your attitude. Your attitude was to be seen of men. So that is your reward, being seen of men. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So you sowed attention, and the attention came from the people you sowed it in front of. Because he says, God's not even looking at this. He says, you have no reward of your Father. Okay? And when you pray, he's telling you what your attitude ought to be. You should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Why? So that they may be seen of men, and because of that, truly, verily, I say unto you, they got what they wanted. They have the reward. But when you pray, enter into the closet. When you shut the door and pray to the Father which is in secret, your Father which is in secret, seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Who are they speaking to? Are they talking to God? No, they couldn't be. He just told you when you pray to God, go in your closet, close the door. But they thinking that they can show people that they connected to God. But don't you do like that. For you're not your father. Why? Your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He didn't say not to ask. He wants your attitude to be correct. Okay? After this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors as we forget, forgive our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you do not forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. That's an attitude adjustment. Is that correct? If you're going to hold on to a trespass, then you're not going to, if you're going to hold on to trespass, you cannot pass. Okay? All right. Moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. And verily I say, because they wanted to be seen of men, because they want their relationship to be approved of men rather than approved of God, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that you appear not to men to fast. See, he didn't say, don't fast around men. He said, make sure that your attitude is not to prove to them that you're holy by what you are frustrated by in the offering to God. I mean, if the offering is unto God, then it should be joy on your face, shouldn't it? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I mean, why does it look like you have to be sucking on persimmon seeds when you talk about God? For God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will have all that you would ever need. Be self-sufficient for every good work and charitable donation. See? But when your attitude is one of frustration because of the sacrifice, you have no expectation through this sacrifice, no preparation through this sacrifice. But unto thy Father, don't show men that you don't appear unto, verse 18, unto men to fast, but you will be, your Father will be looking at you in secret. Okay, there's just so many things that's just rich in this word here. He says that it would be in secret or in a place that other people cannot gauge. Because I don't know that you are unhappy when you are giving your tithes and your offering. God does. I mean, Jesus personally was looking at the offering as it was being brought in the temple. Personally. And he said, this woman has given more than all y'all. She came up with two mites. He said, because she didn't give out of her abundance. She gave out of her need. She's proving that the only thing I have to trust in is God. I can't trust in my money. My money already got ran out. I ain't got but two mites. But my two mites are going to get me to the place where God can bless because I'm giving everything. It's an exchange. I give everything to God. God will then give everything to me. And as I read the rest of the Bible, I don't see not one account that widow woman ever had to come back with those circumstances again. Amen. See, because look at it. According to the scripture we just read right here, her reward came from God. And since she gave her all, God, by obligation then, is going to be the one that gives all to her. Because her reward was not that which was going to be seen by men. Okay? She wasn't doing it for that reason. And so God is going to continue to bless what attitude she brought to God. Amen. It is commensurate, beloved. See? You can see that God was watching a heart, and if you brought him a heart that would, come on, this is good, y'all. If you brought him a heart that was open, then he will open his heart to you. Come on. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You sow the open heart, then you will receive from an open heart. Amen. See? You open your hands to receive by emptying your hands, then your hands will be filled because God will empty his hands. I mean, if you can just look at the picture. See? He said he will reward thee openly. Then in verse 19, interesting. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. I kind of missed this and went to where everybody took me, and I appreciate what they said, and it true has merit, but I just remind you that God was talking about the attitude of the heart all throughout this. He's been talking about the attitude of the heart from chapter 5, verse 2. So he's not talking about anything different now. He's talking about the attitude of the heart. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where men can see them, where you can become hurt, because when men see, they cannot reward. All reward is already over with. But you're going to say, I sold. No, you didn't. What you did is paraded around in pride and strew things all over the place. That's not sowing. According to the word of God here, multiple times, he said, if you're going to give anything, do it in secret. That's one of the reasons why we plant seed and cover it up. Take it to a place where it cannot be seen so that God can work in the area of the unseen. That which is in secret, he will bring forth and make it fruitful. He will reward you openly. Okay, so he's again still trying to get us to see that the way we should store up for ourselves is not solely in carnality. Upon the earth. Well, you know what, y'all hadn't seen that before. He said upon the earth. He didn't even say in the earth, did he? Hello. You do remember when Jesus was talking in Mark chapter 4, that he said there was some seed that came up, but it didn't have much earth, didn't have any depth to it. It was basically thrown on the ground, if you remember that. And the fowls of the air came and messed it up. It was consumed. And when I looked up the word moth here, And again, the reason that I guess most of us went to moth, because it says something about a moth eating cloth, and I get that. But when you look up the definition of the word moth, it speaks to that which corrupts, okay? It speaks to that which consumes, okay? The moth eats, okay? So I thought that was interesting. Okay, so I don't have any lasting reward because I went for the temporal reward being seen of men. And so now that reward just got stolen, didn't it? He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, because the problems that you're going to find is it's going to be consumed, eaten up, ineffective, and corrupt. And if that wasn't bad enough, then it says that it will then be taken away. But he says, rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, most of the time, what is it, in Luke chapter 17, 17, verse 21, Jesus told us that the kingdom is in you. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is in you. So he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in the kingdom. And he says, if you have a pure heart, then out of a pure heart, that's why he said, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. What does he say? That if you sow into a place where your heart is pure, then out of a heart that is pure, you don't have to worry about it being corrupted. Guard, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and following, says, guard or protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Give heed unto my word. Listen unto my sayings, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Guard and protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Don't turn to the right, or don't turn to the left. See? He says, if I can get you to sow, lay up for yourselves treasure in the kingdom, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you want to do these things to be seen of men, that is your value system. Please know that where your treasure is, where your value system is, that's where your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? See, he's trying to deal with our heart, because our heart gives us the view of the things to come. Okay? Watch, I'm going to try to get here. I just get stuck on the other part because we kind of messed this up so bad. No man can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other and hate the other. Love the one, hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And mammon also meant possessions, influence. Okay? It wasn't just possessions only. It wasn't just money. It was influence, reputation. Okay? Mammon includes all of that. So they were doing it to be seen of men, to give different value to their status of life. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Life is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Then he said this. This is where the teaching really started, right here. Behold the fowls of the air. In another scripture said, consider. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And I like this, the way he said this. Notice he says, the fowl of the air, the birds do not sow, they do not reap, and they don't gather into barns. Now, let's get spiritual here. They don't take account. I don't know. Y'all, I haven't seen many bird fights. Okay? I have seen birds of prey going for lunch. Different thing. Okay? That's flat-out survival the way it was. They are simply a part of the food chain in that regard. Okay? They didn't take the time to attack a bird and then put the bird in storage, put it in the refrigerator somewhere. It says that birds don't sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Okay? So about some of the things in our life, we sow into sin, sow into unforgiveness. Remember, he told us an attitude of prayer should be, please forgive if you have aught against any. So you're not going to store up that thing, are you? Okay. Then he has verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So he's telling us that if we had a different point of view, if we looked at it from a bird's eye view, that God has already said we are of more value than the birds, that he feeds them every day. They don't have to trouble themselves over how much I got in the bank. How much is in the barn? See? He says, verse 30, where if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is to tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Then he says, why you consider these things not working in your life is because you are of little faith. So what I can see from there is little faith is concerned about stuff that I shouldn't be concerned about. He just said, if I'm concerned about what I'm gonna wear, what I'm gonna eat, where I'm gonna sleep, he said, all of those things, those actions of thought, they will only employ little faith. I want to grow up. I want to at least be the one found to use great faith. Jesus was looking for that. Don't you remember when he told the centurion? He said about the centurion, he said, I have not found so great a faith. He said he was looking for it. He said he found it. I have not found so great a faith. Well, I want him to be able to say, I have found great faith in Stephen. Hallelujah. Stephen, stop being concerned with the little stuff, the things that little faith works on. See, stuff that requires a bigger amount of faith. With once I was wronged, I choose to use the faith of God to forgive. I choose to use the faith of God to love. That's again what he was talking about in chapter 5 of the Beatitudes. See? Pray for them that despitefully use you. See? That's going to take great faith. That's going to take the faith that God is going to be honored by. Instead of you just concerning yourself with what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, how I'm going to look. See, that's, when you're dealing with that, unfortunately, Jesus himself said it. It's in your Bible. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall I eat or what shall I drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom that's already on the inside of you. Seek the answer that's inside of you rather than seek the approval of and the acceptance of. Seek first the kingdom of God continually and his righteousness, and all of these things would be added to you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See? He's trying to get us to get to a different place in our heart, in our attitude. See? I gave you the acronym of gather. Because the birds, they don't gather into barns. They rather gather into life. Okay? Their nest is for the day, not for the future. It's a temporary dwelling place, seasonal. It's not perennial. Nests are destroyed through the winter. It could be destroyed because of the snow, if you would, that comes down, or the rain that comes down and tears it apart. Their nest is not a permanent dwelling place. They enjoy it, move on, and know that God is going to provide everything that they need when they get wherever they are. They live in the freedom of each moment to the fullest because of the provision of the Lord. The acronym for the word gather would be God's advantages to help enjoy rest. God's advantages to help enjoy rest. Toil, the acronym you gave for toil, is troubled occurrences inside life. You know, Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I got a better plan. Follow me. I've overcome the world. Okay? We got to get to the place where we stop allowing our treasures to be upon the earth and they become a bird seed. Bird feed. See, they're going to be devoured. We've got to get our heart in a different place here. See? Whatever you focus on, it will determine your direction. Whatever you set your expectation on will give you the endurance through the trial. If you're just mad about the trial, you don't get endurance. Again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't get the strength if you're looking for defense. All right? You know what? You don't even need defense. Glory to God. You don't even need defense. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. You don't need defense. What you need to do is to run into the name of the Lord, run into that tower. But what we do is we complain as we try to walk towards the, I said walk toward, as we try to walk toward the tower. He said the righteous run into the tower, didn't he? The righteous are in a hurry to get inside that tower. Glory to God. Come on, y'all. If I'm on the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in to forgive. The righteous run in to allow love to flow. Then hurry up and do that. Glory to God. Did you catch that? Okay. I'm in a hurry to release. Said we run into it. We run into this place where God dwells. If I run into the place where God dwells, I don't need anything else. In his presence is fullness of joy. I don't need my frustration if I'm going to be in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. So why am I trying to take my frustration in there? You know, I learned a long time ago. I don't take my hurt into my prayer time. Glory to God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. I don't need somebody else in my time of intimacy with God. I release that before I even pray. Oh, okay. As I stand praying, not at the end of my prayer. I forgive if I have aught against any. As I stand in the beginning of the prayer, first thing I do is take care of that. Even Jesus took care of what would have been an opportunity to walk in unforgiveness so that he could enter into the kingdom. He said on the cross, while they were still having spears thrust to his side, while they were still having nails in his hand, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, now into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm not going to come before you with this offense in my heart. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in. They're quick to forgive. They're quick to release. My safety is in that excursion to the name, to the strong tower. That's where my safety is. Please hear it. Please hear it. Please hear it. It says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. It didn't say the righteous are inside. The deliverance for my life is in my excursion to the tower. When I get there, safety is already a given thing. If I haven't released by the time I get to the tower, I'm going to have to come out. Because there's nothing that's going to be unclean that enters in. Glory to God. God's looking at the heart, beloved. So here I am going to pray about a situation, and I'm carrying my unforgiveness into the tower. No, 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 no. I need to let that go before I get to the tower. They run into. That's the one I'm quick to forgive. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. See, unforgiveness is not supposed to be going in the tower. I did that quickly while I was with him in the way.
Okay?
We've got to grow up. It's time for this thing to end, and it will not end if we continue to meander around the promises of God and not execute and walk in. We know I'm supposed to forgive, but now see that? You ain't got no business with that but. If you know you're supposed to forgive, to him that knows to do a thing and he doesn't do it, to him it's sin. See? And then if you're going to decide to function without your portion, that's what sin is, being without a portion, then you're going to have to, you already have your reward. Come on, y'all. You already have your reward. I want men to see that they have to forgive and they have to stop treating me like that. You already have your reward if that's your position of thought. God is asking us to have a pure heart. See? Those are the ones that will approach the Holy Hill. See? He wants us to be able to hear from him things that would turn the situation around. I mean, over and over and over, we see these scriptures and principles in the Word. Stephen was being stoned, and I'm sure the stones would hit his head that he was saying, why, and all this. But then Jesus appeared. Stephen looked up, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And the words I can hear coming is, Stephen, forgive them. Because then Stephen said, while this whole exchange was happening, don't lay this to their charge. And then after that, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. See, he couldn't enter in because unforgiveness is not going to the place where God abides. Judgment is not going to the place where God abides. Condemnation is not going to the place where God abides. See? And that's on your side or on their side. There is no condemnation. That means I don't give it and I don't receive it. So Stephen looked up and Jesus said, I want you to forgive. He had just told him that in just a couple of chapters before. In John 20, he told him, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Then in Acts chapter 7, he said, oh, look here, I just told y'all about that. You need to forgive, dude. And Stephen said, don't lay this to their charge. And then he yielded up the ghost. That's why Jesus was standing up in expectation and preparation for what he was going to be able to give to Stephen. But, beloved, we've got to purpose in our heart to have a different attitude. We need a different point of view, a bird's eye view. They don't toil. They don't reap. They don't sow. They don't store up in barns. They just receive from the Lord daily. Today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. Allow him to give you the peace, the rest, the victory that only comes through submission and expectation of that which is good. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we praise you that you keep revealing unto us what we should do to walk worthy unto you, unto all pleasing. How we should release if we have aught against any. How we should not enter into your presence with judgments and hurts, but we should cast all our care over on you, knowing that you care for us. And that because you've already worked everything out, because you're the Alpha and you are the Omega, you are the beginning and the end. So we choose to walk in humility before you. We choose to walk in love before you. And as we do that, you will then open up the windows of heaven and cause us to be able to enjoy good at your hand. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get ready to open up the lines and talk about tonight's teaching, starting with area code 404-453. You have the mic.
Amen. Go ahead. Yes, 453. 2953. Okay, you have. Okay. We can't hear you clearly. So, amen. Godspeed to you. Amen.
Area code 678-294. 678-294.
Good evening,
yes,
everybody.
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, I tuned in kind of late and thought I had missed much, but it was so filled with so much information, so much teaching, and it's just the teaching really helped me to remind me to be humble, particularly if Jesus was not above asking for forgiveness or offering forgiveness, and I don't have any room to hold anything against anyone. I love that. I'm telling you, that was just, I was like, woo. And so next time I even think twice about forgiving somebody or asking for forgiveness, I will remember that teaching. So thank you. And then when you were talking about the seed and just whatever you do it in secret, and how you compare that to seed being covered up with the ground so God can do his perfect work under there. So we don't interfere with what he's doing. And then just all the scriptures that you reminded me of just regarding faith and just igniting that. I appreciate it. That's good words. Let's see. Thank you. All right.
Amen. 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 Thank you for being on the call. Amen. That's just encouraging. That the word, again, he said we should live by that word so that it was able to inspire life in the areas right where we live. You know, he sends a word that meets us in the arena that we function in every day. And if we would allow him, he will bring us to victory unto victory. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the call. Brother Mike.
All right. Area code 404-394. 404-394. You have the mic.
Amen. Welcome to the call. 404-394-97. Amen. Again, I just thank you for being on the call and participating with us. And I hope that you took good notes as was instructed at the beginning, because I would even advise you to go back and listen at the ministry over and over so that you can get these things into our spirit. Once they get into our spirit, we put them in your hearing. They need to get in your spirit, because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So once it gets into your spirit, it will then manifest in your life. So So that's just, you know, just good that he's trying to get us to the place where our testimony brings people in because they see that there is a better way. There is a way that works, not just a way that was talked about. So amen. Brother Mike, back over to you.
Amen. All right, Pastor Steve, that does look like that's the end of our list of callers for this evening. Is there anything else that you'd like to close out on before
amen.
We go
no.
ahead and... Amen.
No, just again, it's fresh. Generally, it's that which is fresh for the time, because God, you can study and think about and meditate on, but once it becomes part of your life, the ability to release it into the lives of others, it becomes easy and an honor and a pleasure. So I just want to thank you all for being a part of the ministry each and every Monday. Amen. Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude tonight's broadcast. If you have been blessed by the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. There you can click on the Donate tab, and there, whatever offering that you feel that you want to make, you can make it there. Thank you for your continued support. As always, as Pastor Steve said as well, and if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.